Hello, listeners. Pastor Chris here to introduce you to our newest teacher on Through the Word. Jonathan Ferguson serves the Lord with his family in Nairobi, Kenya, where he trains local pastors and church planters at Living Water Christian Fellowship. He's also one of my best friends, so ask me sometime for one of our crazy youth ministry stories. You can find a link to Jonathan's blog on the teacher page on our website and app. I myself will be back in the studio soon to record my next Bible book, but I do hope that you enjoy the Book of James with Pastor Jonathan Ferguson.
Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Jonathan Ferguson guides us through the New Testament book of James. Now to Pastor Jonathan.
Hi, this is Jonathan Ferguson on Through the Word, James chapter 1 today. You know, there are many instructional books available on the market today. A quick scan of the different sections of a bookstore will reveal books on how to build a house, overcome anger, survive the zombie apocalypse, or prepare a cheese ball. Seriously, last week I found a book that contains nothing but recipes for different cheese balls. The book of James is in many ways an instructional book for the Christian life. How should I live a mature Christian life? How should I respond at difficult times? How should I behave towards other people? And what about the way I talk? You have questions. James has the answers. Shortly after the birth of the church, a great persecution arose against the young believers. Acts chapter 8 tells us that after the murder of Stephen, the church was scattered, leaving only the apostles in Jerusalem. Their pastor, James, who happened to be the younger brother of Jesus, was not content to let these young believers figure out how to live the Christian life alone, and so he took it upon himself to write to these scattered believers to encourage them into a life of maturity. Now, James did not write these young Christians a letter of deep theological concepts. This short letter actually deals more with the practice of Christian faith rather than the information. Out of 108 verses, there's actually 54 different commands for believers. On average, one command every other verse. So let's examine the book of James and see what this how-to guide to Christian maturity reveals to us about how we can grow deeper in our faith and, as believers, how we can be mature. Now, James chapter 1 is about responding to difficult times as a Christian. Verse 2 gets right to the point. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, notice that James does not say, if you face trials, but rather, whenever you face trials. James lets us know right away that we will face trials, and we will face them regularly. Jesus also warned us, in this world you will have trouble. Paul also says we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Trials are going to happen, so what should we do? James says to count it as a joyous thing. Now, I may be strange, but when I'm going through a difficult time, I don't jump up and down, give a fist bump to a friend of mine, and start singing, "Oh, happy day." I'm usually asking, "Why? Why, God?" There is a very important thing to remember about trials and difficult times. God has a plan. Unfortunately, so does Satan. When we face trials, God wants to bring out the best in us, and Satan wants to bring out the worst. James 1 lays out two different paths we can take, and the final outcomes are vastly different. They are the path of submission and the path of surrender. The path of submission begins, verse 3. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. As we face trials, God wants us to develop perseverance. Perseverance is a word that means endurance. If I wanted to go and run a marathon, and I have absolutely no desire to do so, but if I did want to run a marathon, I wouldn't start by waking up one morning, lacing my shoes up, and running 26.2 miles. I probably wouldn't even make it around the block. No, if I wanted to run a marathon, I would start with a small jog in my neighborhood. Next week, maybe a little longer. Slowly, I would build endurance until I could finish that full marathon. Trials work the same way. We have a small trial, and we build endurance. We face a bigger trial, and our endurance is strengthened. This path of submission is God's plan for building us up and making us mature believers. In verse 12, James tells us what this endurance produces. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. As we continue in our endurance through trials, we are promised the crown of life as a reward. Jesus promises the same reward to those who overcome tribulations in Revelation 2. This crown of life is a symbol of victory. A crown was given to the victors in the first Olympic Games. By standing strong in the face of trials, God has promised believers that he would grant them victory, even unto death. Now, Satan's plan for us is the path of surrender. Look at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Trials hit, and Satan wants us to give up and fall into temptation. It works like this. We fall into a difficult circumstance, and we find ourselves complaining against God. We question whether God loves us. At this point, Satan will whisper into our ear what sounds like an easy escape. That is temptation. One of the greatest examples of this is the nation of Israel in the wilderness. They had just seen the greatness of God in his delivering them out of slavery. But what should have been a 12-month trial to build boldness and strength turned into a 40-year death march through the desert as the nation continually grumbled against God and fell into Satan's schemes. But we really can't blame Satan for the mess we are in along the path of surrender. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. You see, the root of this path is found in our own evil desires. In chapter 4, James will say, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You see, the things that tempt us are the things that start in the heart. When I go fishing, I make sure I use the bait that works for the right fish. If I'm fishing for trout, I use flies, not worms. Why? Because trout like to eat flies. It's in their nature to eat them. And Satan works the same way. He baits us with our own desires. We're tempted to sin when we see a way for our desire to be fulfilled, never noticing the hook ready to ensnare us. The path of surrender in verse 15. Temptation leads to sin, which leads to death. What a difference between these two paths. One leads to eternal life, and the other, death and destruction. So how do we stay on the path of submission and off of the path of surrender? The answer is found in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. All we have to do when we don't know what to do is to ask God what to do. And one of the greatest ways we can hear from God? James tells us to get into the Word. But we shouldn't just read the Bible, we should do what it says. Remember, James is a very practical book, so it's not too surprising to hear James tell us to actually do the things we're reading about. Verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the Word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James then gives us an illustration that will really help explain this principle. He tells us to go look in a mirror. Try this illustration out yourself. When you wake up in the morning tomorrow, go look in a mirror, but look for only 2 seconds. Did you notice any hair out of place? Any dirt that needs to be cleaned off? Probably. Now, go look again, this time for a full minute. Find more things to fix? The more time you spend in front of the mirror, the more you will notice about your appearance that needs to be corrected before leaving the house. In the same way, James encourages us to look into the Bible. Don't just scan a few verses and think you've done your duty towards God. Instead, James says we are to dig deep into the Word, meditate on it. We need to compare our life to the Bible, and if we need to do anything different, we need to do it. That's why the journaling feature on Through the Word is so important. As you examine the Word, take the time to journal the passages that speak to you. Write about what the verse says and what you are going to do about it. Don't just listen to the Word of God. Do what it says, and you will be mature. James chapter 1, a how-to guide for dealing with trials.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.